from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN. Happy Monday to you. Hope everybody had a great July 4th. Break, celebration, all of that. I know some of us had birthdays as well, so we'll check in on that. Hopefully everything went smoothly and safely. More importantly, we talked about the importance of fireworks safety before we got out of here last week. Hope everybody, nobody burned any hands off. Everybody ate good, everything else. We are back, and so are the Grizzlies. Summer League. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to see Zach Edey on the floor. We finally got that roster. Will we get it yesterday? I mean, they waited till the last minute, didn't they? Things start up today over in Salt Lake City for the Grizzlies. Certainly looking forward to that. There was some history made again by rookies in the WNBA. I keep getting my updates from John on what Caitlin Clark's doing. Maybe that is a runaway, or maybe not, because my girl Angel Reese ain't ready to let it go. And if you paid attention to what she's doing from a double-double standpoint, nobody else!
No one else!
But no other rookies had a triple-double.
Trip-dub. Not dub-dub.
Congrats to you. You had a good weekend. She did that in a win, too,
that's
against
right.
the Liberty. Is that correct?
Yes, it was even sweeter.
Even sweeter. This rookie class has got us talking more about the WNBA than we ever have.
Angel, here's what I hate. Angel's a great young player. Caitlin Clark is a great young player. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it just sort of feels like you kind of have to pick a side here. Or
is it Magic Bird and we just enjoy it?
Well, people picked sides in Magic Bird, too.
Right. But we said how good it was for the league. But
it doesn't really feel like people are enjoying it as much as it's just like yelling at each other. You know what I mean?
But in the end, is it good for the league in the sense that more eyeballs on it, right? We're paying more attention than we ever have.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And I would think so. I mean,
that in the end, that's probably going to be a good thing. You're probably right. Even during the Magic Bird days, you picked sides. And a lot of that was racial. Right,
and so is this.
And minus social media, so it probably didn't get as crazy.
Right.
But in the end, this can't be anything but a good thing. You got more eyeballs on
it. Absolutely.
You got more people caring about women's professional basketball.
No, it's like when it was Hulk Hogan, Iron Sheik. That was the great rivalry, bro. It wasn't Hulk Hogan, you know, and Shawn Michaels, or, you know, it would have been him back then. But
was it Hulk and Roddy, too, at
Backlund.
One point?
Yeah, it was always.
I thought the cartoon was like Hulk's guys and then Roddy's guys.
Andre the Giant, you know, it was always a different sort of his opponent. Like he was the great American, and his opponent was this monster from wherever.
Yes.
And then the Iron Sheik. Now, obviously, we have two Americans here, but you get what I'm saying.
I get it.
One versus the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Magic versus Bird. I mean, there's different dynamics at play. That's what makes it fun. I think, you know, and entertaining. But I definitely think that the Rookie of the Year award was sewed up this weekend.
Maybe.
Sewed up.
Maybe.
Got that joint sewed up.
Again, nobody in the league has done 13 straight double-doubles ever.
That's right.
That's not a rookie record.
No, that's not
a WNBA record.
That's right.
She broke Kansas.
But if you had a vote.
So we're not. What if we up that to 23?
Doesn't matter.
mean, it doesn't. But there's nothing we can do at this point to catch up to Caleb.
I mean, unless Caleb
how about wins,
falls off.
Does standings matter at all? I know you guys have beat us two out of three, but standings have got to matter.
Did it matter for Wimby?
They have to matter.
It didn't matter for Wimby.
If it's close, they have to
it
matter.
It was close with Chet and Wimby.
No, it wasn't.
The Rookie of the Year is not, not a team award.
Wimby ran off.
Most good rookies are going to be on bad teams, right? They're going to be on bad teams. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not like the Chicago Sky, not that we intended to go here, but it's not like they're lighting up the scoreboards either.
No, but I think we're better than y'all, even though on a heads-up basis, we've only won one of the three matchups. It was the most recent.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you guys don't have the head-to-head record against us. You're only a win or two better than us. Or it's a loss.
I don't think it's sewed up yet.
But again, you guys have more than enough time to reconcile with that fact that the Rookie of the Year award is already done and over with.
It's making us argue. This is good for WNBA.
No, it's not good.
How's that not good?
It's not good for the show, and it's not good for the WNBA. I wanted to start this off, though. It's not often that I do this before we get to the IOC Grizz Summer League. Bobby Mark's going to join us at 12:25. Looking forward to catching up with him about the Summer League, the moves that the Grizz have or have not made. Some people believe that the Grizzlies made the pickup of the offseason with some of their assistant coaching hires. So we'll talk to him about that, get his thoughts on the reshuffling. So a lot to get to with Bobby Marks, but I did want to do something that I don't normally do and start the show off with a very somber message, which is, and folks, I want you all to join me in coming around and saying this, free Jason.
Might as well have been.
Hey, free my man Jason Smith, man.
I'm free. I'm here. Just barely.
I just want to make sure that before you go off, man, because when do you have to go in by?
I'm done. I'm clear. Okay. All court costs have been paid. I'm done. I was in General Sessions 14 today. Spent a good deal of the morning there.
14 block.
Yep. Some of the best citizens in the world.
Damn. Now, you were in there unrepresented, correct?
Unrepresented, I was. Gotcha. Thought going down might get that thing dismissed. It did not.
Now, was this the sheriff who was on foot?
Again, you've changed the details of that story. He was out. Yeah, he was on the street, but he was...
Okay, I'm just making sure that was the same.
With his car.
Gotcha. Yeah,
it wasn't like he was walking or a beat cop.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I'm just making
this was
sure that
stop
was the...
Sign
we
ticket
talked about
from months
this.
Ago. Yes. Yeah. Stop sign ticket from months ago.
And, you know.
I really don't have anything to say.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't know if you had anything to say about the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
Or,
No, not really.
But not today. Not today.
No, I'm just going to save it. Just going to save it. I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody's thoughts and cares. Jason's free. And there are other people that are still probably down there that are probably feel locked up right now. That system's so slow down there. I could go on and on about how inefficient it is, where they could do better. They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. They just want your money. They don't care how long you're down there. It doesn't matter.
And you saw that up close and personal.
Yeah, I did. Up close and personal. General Sessions 14. I reported. I was there early.
Yeah.
Didn't matter.
Well, when you're ready to go a little deeper into it.
My only thing, you get there at 8 o'clock. They don't open up till 9:05, and the people that have come in there at 9:05 get to rush up in there before the people have gotten there early. What kind of system is that? It's trash.
You get no rewards for
No rewards for going. I might as well have gotten there at 9:06, 9:10. They didn't open up till after 9 o'clock. Now they're behind. They got whatever. That's the story of the courts these days.
Right.
They're undermanned, underserved. That didn't matter. My point is, people that literally just walked up at 9:08. Get to run in there before the people that had been there for an hour and a half waiting on the court. How silly is that in terms of the way it's run, in terms of efficiency? Just stupid. I deserve the ticket.
I
deserve to pay it, obviously. Whatever. Some people get theirs dismissed, whatever else. But just the inefficiency with which they run it and how they don't give a damn about trying to improve it, it seems like to me. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
Absolute mess. I'm lucky to be here. I'm grateful to be here.
Did the cop that gave you the ticket show up?
Nah, he wasn't even there. I mean, not. I didn't see him.
Right.
I didn't see him. No.
Damn, that's wild. I thought they had to be there.
No, it's
if you showed up.
It's wild. It's wild. Some stuff's getting dismissed. My stop sign did not. I could pay a $10 ticket plus court fees or go to driving school.
Got you.
Now, I've already had my morning taken away from me, essentially. Do I want to go back and spend more time at driving school just to get the thing dismissed, or am I going to pay the $10 plus
what
you think court costs were? About 75, brother. 86.50 for a stop sign ticket. That was an absolute joke.
Now is the
and I shouldn't be railing. Our week I win, but it seems to me like they held us long, and they held some people with Glock switches down there. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, no.
No,
I mean,
they'll release their asses immediately. They get to go. They got us hemmed up for a damn stop sign ticket all damn morning.
No,
feels like might as well been locked up.
I'm glad we went.
I'm lucky to get out because I did. Once I saw people were pushing their way in there, I said, "No, I'm gonna go ahead and bogard my way in there too."
Yeah,
brother. There's another 30 people that were on the other side still waiting by the time I rolled out. Like they were gonna probably be in there till 1 or 2 o'clock. It's just incredibly frustrating. Incredibly frustrating.
You came away more upset about.
I should have just paid. Like I told the clerk when I got to, after he told me what I got, and I'm going there to pay or get my LL81 ticket to go downstairs. I'm looking at it. I said, I should have just paid this damn thing from the get go.
Right.
You know, I back in my day, you'd come down here, they'd get dismissed.
Exactly.
She looks at me like, and she looks at him like this one should have been, which just further added to my frustration.
So let me ask you this.
I don't want to make this the open. It's really because it sounds Jason's bitching about getting a ticket. It's how unserious our system is down there.
Right. Well, that's
I had not been in years, thankfully, hadn't had any tickets. But my gosh.
It is a big.
Should just hired the attorney like everybody told me, have them take care of it or whatever
right.
else.
Let them.
Or just pay it up front because in the end, that whole you go down, get it dismissed, man, it ain't worth it.
I'm just curious. Did you have to make a case? Like, did you have to say,
No. Okay. You could, if I want to fight it, I can go to driving school technically.
Okay.
Right? And then get it, I guess, dismissed that way.
But that costs money, right?
I'm sure it probably would have. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think it was free. I don't think my driving class is free.
Yes. Yeah, so.
That would have cost more. At that point, I'm just trying to rush here to get to work. Let me pay the damn ticket.
So the moral of the story in 2024 is if you get
might as well pay it.
Like
yeah,
that.
I was trying to avoid points and everything else on your license. You get 12 points in a year, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I got zero, so I should have just took it and paid it.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Man. Not a good day for
joke
for Jason.
Joke.
And not a good day for the Memphis
joke.
Judicial system, which
joke.
Is just backlogged. You know, backlogged and not moving
officially.
Have a
system down there. They used to have a line down there at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at least the line would serve as some sort of order. Well, at least in 14
right.
on the fourth floor, you're just sitting in chairs. So when that door opens, everybody rushes to the door.
Right.
Just a free-for-all, bro. Now, what kind of sense does that make?
It doesn't make any sense.
Nothing.
But it actually, knowing what we know about
there.
Memphis, it kind of makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it does, man.
You know, when you weigh it all
together. We'll release them Glock switches and all that within an hour. You know, y'all... your own recognizances, get on out of here.
Right, but
something
you
stupid.
You got held, and you got to pay the fool.
Yeah, I'm paying for them.
That's right. That's right. What else is new? Well, listen, I can't make your day any better when we talk about Memphis crime and the judicial system and sort of your role in it. But I hopefully can make your day a little better when I tell you and remind you that Zach Edey makes his basketball debut.
It does. It makes things a little better. Really does. It's what a distraction.
Later tonight.
From my issues.
Later tonight, the Grizzlies Summer League taking on an absolutely equally loaded, I would say, two loaded teams of the Utah Summer League, Utah Jazz and the Memphis Grizzlies. Just so you know, Utah Jazz, 5.5-point favorite over the Grizzlies tonight with a point total of 184.5. Obviously, we know with the Grizzlies, it's going to be Zach Edey, G.G. Jackson, Scottie Pippen Jr., Jalen Wells, Jake LaRavia. Am I missing anybody?
DJ Jeffries.
DJ Jeffries.
At some point.
Yes. So it'll be that group against Walker Kessler is for some reason playing in the Summer League. I did not realize that was a thing.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
I thought he was sort of past that, but he is not. Maybe it's just because it's there. I don't know. But it's him. It's Keontae George. It's Taylor Hendrick. It's Bryce Sensabaugh. I mean, they are absolutely loaded top to bottom. So you're going to – it's kind of, you know, a baptism by fire, right? Like, this is probably the best team, one of the best teams at the very least, that the Grizzlies will see all summer, and they're playing them to kick it off tonight. So, I mean, this will be a great litmus test for how ready Zach Edey is going to be because – obviously, with what they have on the roster, we know he's going to have to be ready.
Yeah, I mean, Walker Kessler's played 64 games the last two seasons.
Absolutely.
Started 62 between them. He knows what he's doing. So, yeah, you're going to be tested right off the bat. I love the fact that they're playing LaRavia and that Z. Edey's going to have some pretty good NBA players just in terms of guys, in terms of what they can do. And, again, this is the summer league level. Certainly not talking the regular NBA level. But when you're talking about having LaRavia, G.G., Scottie Pippen Jr. out there, I mean, that's technically probably more talent than he had at Purdue. And so from that standpoint, We're going to get a good chance to see what Zach Edey in this role will look like. Again, I just can't see, whether it's summer league or whatever else, a time where the Grizzlies are slowing things down to throw the ball into Zach Edey on multiple, you know, consecutive possessions, because I think that's not a style that you're going to be running with the big club.
Right.
And so tonight, so hopefully, you're going to be seeing him in that role, setting screens, doing what he would do for Ja, for Scottie Pippen Jr., sort of seeing those things right now. And yeah, man, to get eyes on it, to see what it looks like in this system that could be changing based on the coaching hires and everything else we saw over the weekend. Very excited to see it all play out and sort of unfold. I'll be honest with you. We get real excited about summer league. We see it, and then we come in here the next day. And it's kind of, you know what I'm saying. It's kind of you drop off a little bit. It's not as exciting nearly as we played it up to be.
That's true.
All that said, this is a pretty good roster for the Grizzlies. So
yeah.
And I love, again, the fact that they're putting LaRavia out there. I do not understand why Utah is putting Walker Kessler out there. He's proven LaRavia.
Agreed.
What going into third year is not.
Right. No, I don't. It doesn't really make sense to me at all.
But great test for Edey. I mean, from that standpoint, why not? I mean, we don't want him out there against a bunch of bums. If you can get it against a credible pro, let's go do it. Even more reason to play the games and see what you get out of this with a Walker Kessler over on the other side.
Well, I think that is sort of the thing for me in this game. Like, normally, what's our motto with the summer league? It doesn't matter.
Right, because it's who they've done it against. A lot of times we come in here that next day, it was against a scrub. You have to sort of, you know, qualify it.
Yes. I think this game matters immensely for Zach Edey.
Oh, wow.
I do. Obviously, it's his first game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in a few short months, he is going to be the bona fide, no doubt about it, starter for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Looking like it.
And it's from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the whole way. Right, I mean, there's nobody. I mean, you listen to Harrington on with Jeff today, and he was saying they're going to have to free up a roster spot if they're going to bring in another big. Like, they could do like a two-way. Point being, there's not a lot of other options out there at this point, as we can currently see.
Yep.
So it feels like it's going to be the keys at the five being handed to Zach Edey from the jump, and this is a great way and a great chance for him to show that he's ready for that. If he gets absolutely eaten up by Walker Kessler tonight, I'm going to be concerned. I mean, I just am. Now, I'm not going to, like, freak out or anything. It's one game. But on the flip side of that, if he holds his own and looks good and performs well, I'm going to say, okay, this should give the Grizzlies organization great confidence and fans' confidence that he is going to be able to – because, again, like you said, Walker Kessler's guys played big minutes, lots of games over the last 2 years – and he's a guy who is considered a good, promising young big man, right? Like, we consider him that. So if Edey can come in, hold his own, not look overwhelmed, I'll be very happy about that. And a lot more confident, you know, that he can handle the load for 82 games.
I'm trying to figure out what overwhelmed for Edey looks like. Again, if we're talking about, this ain't going to look like Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're throwing it into him.
Right.
It's going to be for a specific role.
Yep.
And so if he can't, you're right. If he can't do that. And again, I'm not saying Edey's not going to get shots or that he's not going to throw some hook shots, whatever else, and show you how skilled he is down there. But my point is, you're not changing your style for Zach Edey, and so you're certainly not doing it to win some summer league games. And so my thing is that it should look good, right? Because you're just talking about setting screens, you're talking about offensive rebounding, defensive rebounding. I mean, those are where he's got to check the boxes, and you should be able to do that against Walker Kessler. Again, no one's asking you to go in there and score 30 against him. And so if he has a ineffective offensive night, so long as he set screen, so long as he rebounded well, so long as he got up and down the floor and looked like an NBA player, I'm gonna be satisfied for a first outing. But this is pretty tough for most guys aren't going against a proven NBA guy like a Walker Kessler.
Very true.
Their first time out.
It is tough.
And so there's a possibility he's not gonna do much of anything offensively, and I'm not gonna hold that against him, because again, that's gonna be limited on what you're asking from him with the big club.
I think it's more about how he looks on the defensive side, right? I think that's kind of where
that's fair. Yeah.
You know what
with
I'm
the
saying?
Foot speed and everything else.
Yeah, yeah,
and you won't have Jaren to protect you and everything.
Correct.
You know, there's a lot of that.
Again,
that you won't have.
This is not the team Zach will be playing with, so even if he has a bad day, then you'll be able to sort of.
That's what I'm saying. You got to be careful about.
But I don't want to have to come in here tomorrow saying that.
Judgments,
right?
That he was overwhelmed on the first day. It could get bad for him tonight.
Right.
And he could still be fine.
And maybe that could end up being a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Because it exposes a little bit, like, hey, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to work on this summer. I'm just saying, like, this is, you know, Zach's not a project. I mean, with the way that they're going to need him,
You know, he's got to be ready to go. And I think he will be, but I just feel like tonight is a really big litmus test for him to show, like, hey, am I a guy? And again, I don't know. Maybe the Grizzlies watch this game with, okay, if he looks great, you know, does it change their plans in terms of we were going to do this, but now we maybe don't feel like we I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Again, I just think you have to play it on the careful side just because everything you just laid out, you're talking about a guy you're planning to have in there penciled as a starter.
Right? Yeah.
And so you have to be careful with how much he goes, how much you use him. And if he's solid, do I need to see him anymore in Salt Lake City? That's a question. I think the benefit, though, is you get to see him, you know, with some guys, a G.G. Jackson that you're hopeful, you know, are going to be a part of your rotation this year. You get to see that right now. And so hopefully, you know, however much time that is on the floor, it's productive. And so,
right.
Yeah, but I would warn against making, you know, sort of sweeping declarations on Zach Edey, his qualifications, the fit based on one game against what's obviously a pretty good Utah team.
Yeah, it's.
I think I'd be on the side of the Grizzlies with this one.
Also, Kenneth Lofton Jr. plays for the Jazz summer league team.
He can make bigs look bad.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with that.
I mean,
you know, just with his energy level and everything else, how much he'll push you around in there. But I'm not worried about Kenneth Lofton Jr.
So
what I like is that, I mean, Scottie Pippen's got to be starting, right? At point guard?
Yeah.
Come on now. I mean, if you got Gigi and LaRavia and Zach Edey and Scottie Pippen starting, bro, let's roll it out there.
You like
pretty good about the Grizzlies' chances.
You like the Grizzlies plus 5.5.
Man, if Pippen is playing like he was at the end of the season, and that was that was still some NBA guys out there. Yeah, uh-huh. It wasn't meaningful minutes in terms of the type of games that they were. There wasn't anything at stake, but it was a better talent level than what he's facing right now. He's gonna cut them folks up.
You like Joe Biden to be the Democratic nominee -150?
Man, he said he's not. I watched the interview this weekend. He's gonna be the nominee. He's not going anywhere.
I just want to get all of that.
He's not going anywhere. He said it's him.
Yeah, and he doubled down at it again today, and the he was like +185 last week going into the weekend, and now he's -153.
No, it's
so,
over. It's done.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely making it clear that he is not going to step down. But those are the two big bets that I wanted to get from you.
Dang, okay.
Biden, Democratic nominee, and then the Grizz Summer League. I like the over in this game tonight. I don't feel like there's going to be a lot of stops. I think it's going to be a shootout. So it's a huge number. It's 184.5. So you know, I mean, you're not getting a ton of room here. But I mean, I think this will be just lights out shooting the whole way.
Doesn't feel like to me LaRavia is going anywhere. And I think right now, you know, especially with the lack of proven shooting on this team, that if he can sort of continue where he left off last year, he's going to be on the roster. You'd like to see it continue in at this level on the summer. I mean, that's why you got him out there. Is, you know, and now, I mean, we kind of know the deal on Zaire. You feel like LaRavia is sort of in that spot where, okay, you know, here's you're going to be outside the rotation looking in come regular season.
Right.
So if you're going to be a part of this team, you know, part of this roster, you need to show it right now and continue sort of what you pick up where you left off last year. Again, this team needs shooting. And, you know, with this question mark on Kennard still, I mean, what's the deal there? You know, having a LaRavia guy that can knock down shots on the roster
strange.
Is a smart thing right now. And so hopefully he can continue. Just, you know, speaking of other guys not named Zach Edey, LaRavia, GG, you would expect at this level to shine. You know, still 19, though, so, you know, if he's inefficient, don't be surprised. But I'd sure like to see sort of LaRavia and GG kind of pick up where they left off at this level and let them be the main offensive guys, obviously, with Scotty setting it up. And then, you know, everything that we've said in terms of ED's role, you want to see that happen.
Absolutely. So big night for the Memphis Grizzlies. And although I appreciate your message, which is don't overreact, you know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
One way or the other, whether he plays great or whether he plays bad, the only way I think we won't overreact is if he's sort of somewhere in the middle, which he could be. That to me is probably the likelihood that he has, like, you know, 8-6 and, you know, something like that.
Well, you need him to be good because of what you've done so far, you know, the way things have played out.
Yeah.
You didn't get clinging. You're expecting to be a contender for the next 2 years. You need him to plug in and be good off the top. So,
yep.
So
exactly.
We should get our first indications whether that's possible tonight.
It'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. What is it, 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock Memphis time. So That will be one absolutely worth tuning in for this week. And again, you just don't know how long, you know, how many games these guys are all going to play, right? We don't know how many games Zach and Gigi and Scottie Pippen are going to play. So you got to watch them while they're playing, because I don't think you're going to get a super long look in Vegas. I just don't, especially because they're playing in Utah, which they normally do. So what is it, four games or is it two games?
It's three in Salt Lake, okay. Four in Vegas, I believe.
Okay, so three, yeah, that's right, three in Utah. So, I would be shocked if Gigi plays more than two in Vegas. He may not play all three in Utah, but, you know, I just think you're going to have to take advantage of these situations where, you know, they're all going to play first game, and then it's anybody's guess after that. But that's tonight, 8 o'clock against the Utah Jazz. We'll come back, lots more to come. We'll talk to Bobby Marks about all this, get his thoughts on the Grizzlies offseason, the coaching reshuffling, where they sort of fit into the West, and if maybe they're going to catch some people off guard this year when everybody's back. So we'll talk to Bobby Marks about all that at 12:25. Stick around. Jason and John, Adichon FM. Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
ESPN. Hi, we're back. Jason and John on Eternite FM, ESPN. How's your 4th of July, by the way?
Uneventful for me. Certainly not as eventful as yours. How's it feel to be another year older?
Dude, it's hard. Getting older is hard. It's definitely...
Welcome to the club.
It's not fun.
It's where you find your fun. So how you measure fun. It changes.
No, I miss being 26 and 27.
Right.
I'll tell you that.
Sounds like it was a wake-up call for you then, if you were expecting 27, 26 type fun.
Well, all of it is. Every single year
especially
is,
once
right?
You keep having all these kids, John.
I know, yeah. It's different. It's different. You kind of learn a lot just about the world and, expectations and things like that. But that's a sort of different discussion for a different day, I suppose, away from the microphones. But I will say this. I am, in terms of expectations, very interested to see where the Memphis basketball program goes from here. Because our man Hitman Hoops said today that, and we sort of obviously knew this because of what is out there, right? Mm-hmm. What is available. Mm-hmm. If you have high expectations for Memphis at this point, in terms of adding a wing, you should dial those down expeditiously. Because there ain't one out there. There's not a guy out there that, as we said, is going to make an impact. He reported that their recruiting director recently inquired about a wing from the Division II level. So at this point, if you're going that route, I would just say don't. I would just say don't. Don't even add the body because it's just not going to make a difference for you. Even if you want to say depth, D2. JUCO is not going to be good enough to play any real minutes for Memphis next season. So, we already see that with Pierre. You can't make that jump. You're just not. And Pierre had he was a national champ. He had the numbers. He had the whole. It don't matter.
Right,
bro. You're not making the jump from D. Like, I have questions about kids from Tulsa making the jump, let alone D2. But it's thin out there for Memphis right now, Jason. And the question, I guess, you have to sort of get comfortable with is what Memphis has enough? Is the group that Memphis has enough? And I think sort of, that's up to interpretation. But I think that is the question right now for Memphis.
Looks like it's enough to maybe make a tournament. But again, I don't know how that is taking it to the next level. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that Penny Hardaway's got enough. But I think the indications are, by them continuing to go after players. We know that that's been a constant since they lost David Jones to the NBA. They think they need more. And so that's why, I sort of lean towards that. Is this enough? Probably enough to make a tournament, maybe enough to win the AAC and beat out UAB.
Right.
But is it enough to make a second weekend? Probably not. And I think that's how – listen, if Penny's going to get this thing back to where Ryan Silverfield has got it, and I use those two – and we can compare them very closely. Ryan was in a situation last year where we're asking, is he the right guy for the job? Should you be withholding a contract extension? Because where are the big wins? Where are the AAC tournament title appearances?
Yep.
AAC tournament. AAC title game appearances. Where are they? Where are the championships? We were there. He finishes it off with a 10th win against Iowa State, and the thing is absolutely bubbling. Obviously, there's more factors that go into that pot, including the NIL that you get from FedEx, that deal. But my point is, Ryan turned it around after that seat got warm and has got it to a point people are excited, people are buying tickets. I just read the NIL story from Frank Bonner. It's not just FedEx. You've got companies coming in from all over the place that, no, they're not giving as much as FedEx, but they're pumped up. They want to be a part of this. For Penny to get it back to that on the basketball side, I question whether this is enough.
Right.
Whether this roster is enough. Sure, maybe you can make a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And we've said that's got to be the goal right now after you missed last year. But the fact is they don't think they have enough is what it looks like to me. And so I think it's obviously fair enough for us to question whether they do and whether this is really, again, it's one thing to make the tournament. Making the tournament, yeah, that's going to be fine. You can check a box, Penny's back in. It's a third tournament appearance.
Right.
But it's not going to get people excited again. It's not going to get people bought back in. And it's just like we said for Ryan, those folks that are on the fence, they're not coming back in just because you made a tournament. In fact, they expect you to.
Right.
They want more than that. So it's a really, it's a tough spot right now for Penny, much like it was for Ryan last year.
Right.
Is it turnaroundable? It's not a word, but is it? Yeah, I think it is. But right now, I'd probably say that, this roster looks a little bit short. Again, I could paint a picture where, fewer options are a good thing for Penny. But what's clear is they have very few on the wing.
Yeah, and I think that's – I mean, listen, I don't know.
Front court, you got guards, but you don't have much of anything on that wing. Not depth.
Exactly.
Colby.
Yes. I think you could go back and you could, if we want to sort of pick nits here, we could say Penny should have – maybe not been so confident in the return of David Jones. He should have sort of acted as though David Jones was not going to return, and deal with that, after the fact. Whether it's a situation, where you have to sort of sift through the BS of what David Jones is telling you, or, again, you and I have both heard things about how that went down, and it's hard to sort of know what's real and what's not. We know he had a two-way, so it ended up being a decent enough decision from his perspective, I guess. But in terms of the whole Memphis side of it, it's a little confounding as to how it all played out. Again, whether that's, you know, real or not, we'll probably never know. But it clearly just left Memphis in a jam because it's so late in the process. You have, like, what, six guys after that that you could try to go get realistically that would actually help you? I mean, Trevon Brazil, Jameer Watkins, Kaluma, you know, a couple others here and there. But you're talking about five, six guys who the rest of America is also now trying to get to. So, you know, was there something like if it was, you know, I know Penny publicly kept saying 70-30, 70-30, you know, when maybe it wasn't that or shouldn't have been that, you know, I think that's the part of it that you might look back on and say that was the miscalculation or, you know, unfortunately, David was leading Memphis. Again, I don't know. You know, I wasn't involved in those conversations, so it's hard to know. But I think when you look at this roster, that is absolutely, that's the hole.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hole. I mean, and Colby could be good. I mean, he, you know, he's a shooter, and, you know, that's a great thing to have in college basketball. But it's, you know, again, it's a different level. It's you're going from Wichita State to Memphis, and I don't know how many Power Five teams Wichita State played last year. I'd have to look at. He's a little more experienced than PJ, so I think Colby will be good. But you know, I don't know if
I mean we thought Jaquan Wall was going to be good.
That's right.
We have no idea.
That's right.
You have any idea until they get out there. And then you got no idea what happens if a piece is removed like a Caleb Mills, and how does the team respond then?
Yeah.
And so that's why even but then to argue the other side of this, I'm not going to overreact to what right now looks like a pretty shorthanded roster and worry and have anxiety that Penny's not going to get this done. It's all going to play out. And yes, right now it's clear. You're right. If keeping David Jones was as much of a certainty as you thought it was, well then maybe you should have upped the offer. Or just been more sure about it.
Right.
Because what we said was, during the time, we'll have a plan B. You know, be working on that, but yep. Have a plan B. So far, the B has not been good enough.
That's right.
That's what's clear, and it's clear by the fact that they're still out and recruiting. And so if you didn't think you were going to have to get to B, well, then you should have been firmer in terms of where you were with David. It's unfortunate that got to that because we've all said, I don't want to sit up here and put that squarely on opinion. We've all said, you know, even John with the two-way contract, if the thing was close to $1 million, I can still tell you it wasn't a smart business decision. You should have come back.
Yeah.
A lot of that was on David. Okay, but again, you are the head coach.
Right.
It was your guy, and clearly he was going to be important to this rotation.
It's huge.
And that hole is still there.
Yep.
So that's concerning. I mean, it's just the truth. But can they, you know, is there still a script where this works out?
Right.
Sure there is. It's just, it doesn't look great right now, you know. But again, things have looked great on paper. They did last year from Memphis. We felt great. Get off to the great start, the whole thing falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you're not going to be able to make the full judgment until this thing's on the floor. You see how this thing fits together defensively.
Right.
And frankly, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure how it does. You know, I'm not sure how good that looks.
Right.
If I've got, you know, Colby out there, P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter, how good of a perimeter three is that? I don't know.
Right.
I know about what Musa can do.
Yeah.
You know, off the bench. But my point, listen, if you're going to get back to Memphis basketball, it's the defensive side that has to get fixed first.
Yep.
And do you have the pieces you need? It looks like maybe you do in the front court with Tyreek and Musa, but what about that three on the perimeter? And would David Jones have changed that? No, David Jones is not this great defender. But again, it was another body, a guy who had been in your system, knows your defensive system. How is this going to look defensively? It's just as important, maybe even more so, than how it comes together offensively.
Yeah, like I think where I'm at with it, Jason.
Especially on the perimeter, John.
Yes.
Tyrese. Solid, right? I mean, everything you've read about solid defender. He's coming from Texas. Yeah.
He's a good player.
But PJ and then Colby are your, you know, that's your perimeter defense. How
right.
is that going to be?
And then they have nothing behind him. Nothing.
Well, the Okoji, I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it seems like a defensive, you know, a guy who can play some defense for you if he's ready to go by the time we get rolling. But it seems to me, John, he's going to have to be in the rotation because of how thin you
are. I mean, who are your backup wings right now? I mean, are you counting on Jared Harris here? Or are you counting on him?
Well, I mean, it's going to have to be Jordan, the guy he said. And the guy, he's like, oh, okay, because he shot 40%.
Right.
He's still more power forward than he is wing.
Exactly.
But he'll have to fill some time there if there's not a real replacement for David Jones. That's where the thinnest is on the wing.
Yeah, like they are just going to be.
And Penny has mentioned Jordan as a candidate for more wing time.
It's going to drive Penny crazy because he's just not going to have that many playable guys at the guard spot.
And it could be a good thing.
It could. It actually could be.
Rotation because you have to.
It could be. But yeah, Hitman Hoops also reported that Jonathan Lawson he's off to a spot. He didn't say where the spot was, interestingly enough, but he did say that he has. Let me get the exact wording up here. He is reported to his new school and is no longer an option. So, again, don't know who that school is per Hitman Hoops, but he has gone off to his new school, so he will not be an option here.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah,
I thought. He could have checked at least a couple boxes.
Exactly.
For you in terms of wing. You know, he can shoot the ball. He did that for a couple of years here, or for a year. He redshirted the first one. But
yeah.
Would have added some depth there, and a guy who knows your system. That's a, you know, again, there must have been reasons.
We have a lot of time to do this, but just my assessment of this roster, people are going to say I'm hating. This is just how I feel about it. Tournament feels like best case to me. Making the tournament feels like best case. I think there's basically no scenario where they make a Sweet 16. I just don't think they're going to have a seed that's good enough to, you know, I mean, I suppose they could always pull off upsets, but it just kind of feels like they'll be squarely on that, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 line, and they're going to have to pull off two upsets to get there, you know. It just feels like I don't know, I don't have enough confidence. Now, it could all, like, come together. I think that's the best case. Like, the AAC is so bad that they could earn their scars in the non-conference, maybe pick off a couple of good teams. Mm-hmm. They do have individual good players. Like, I do feel pretty confident in Dane Danger and Tyrese Hunter coming into Memphis and honestly, like, leveling up. I believe that. But I don't know if I can trust that as much about really anyone else. And I think that's sort of that's where I run into a little bit of a problem. Now, PJ could be great. He could pick up where he left off last year. He could be a year older.
I'm high on PJ. I think he's going to be pretty good.
So if he is as good as he was last year, then yes, Memphis should feel good about making the tournament. But I guess that's where my sort of concern comes in, and my skepticism is that I am more skeptical about him, you know, than maybe some others are. But I think then the question becomes, if they do, is tournament enough? I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes for another year. And just sort of saying, hey, you know, let's hope. And here's the other part of that. Retain some guys. The roster flipping has to stop because it's not sustainable.
If he doesn't know that by now, yeah. I don't know what we're doing.
Like, if you can hold on to PJ. I
mean, how difficult this is, he sees it better than anybody. And he seems to be frustrated by it. So
yes.
I would hope that there would be a yes, an urgency to keep a great deal of this.
Exactly. Hold on to PJ.
PJ's multiple years. Tyrese is, but I don't know how long you're going to have him. He's got two when he came.
Okay, so hopefully he would do another, right?
Koji's got three. You know,
yeah. Kobe's done.
If you keep PJ for two of the three, you'd be good. He's one of the 1 years.
Dane,
I want to tell
done.
You, Tyreek is a 1 year as well.
Yeah, Jordan could do a fifth year or no?
I'm wrong on Tyreek because it's Dane. I know. I thought Dane is two. Dane's. Did you say that?
Dane's two.
Yeah.
Oh, because he's listed as a redshirt senior. So okay.
No, I thought when he came in, the Muns had Dane as two.
Okay. Well, yeah. So yeah, hold on to Dane. Hold on to Hunter. Hold on to PJ. Hold on to those three. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, then now you're talking about building something. Now people have confidence that like this is back sort of on the, you know, right, you know, trajectory here. But if we get into a situation where, you know, you're having a, you know, you if you miss the tournament, guess what? You're flipping the roster again, probably, right? Like, it's just going to happen. Nobody's going to be checking for this team to be run back. So I mean, I think the two things are sort of correlated in that way. But you know, it's something that, you know, I think one sort of could breed the other. If they make the tournament, I think it's going to be a lot easier to keep the big components that are eligible, keep them at Memphis. And if you can do that, I mean, even three, you know, huge returns. We talked about the stat, right? If you return 20+% of your minutes, 30% of your minutes, that is fine. That is absolutely fine. It's when you go from that to 5%, 10%, that's not good enough, right? You're flipping. And again, Penny's done that 2 years in a row. Circumstance, whatever. I'm not, you know, it is what it is. That's not conducive.
I was PJ 3, Dane 2, Kobe 1, Tyrese 2, Baraka 3, Tyreek 1, Musa 1.
Okay, so there you go.
There's something there. There's
you got a chance.
Things in there to retain.
You got a chance. And if you make the tournament with it, comes
again.
Easy.
think back to how frustrated Penny was in that interview he did locally a couple of weeks ago. And I say that to say, if he's in a position next off season where he's having to replace it all again for a third straight year, how much energy is he going to have to do that?
Especially off a missed tournament in this scenario, right?
Well, missed tournament. John, if he makes the tournament but loses the first game.
Right.
There's still a good chance you're going to be, you know, replacing a lot. And if Penny Hardaway is feeling the same sort of level of unappreciation, like y'all don't, you know, I feel like I've done a pretty good job here. You guys are criticizing me.
Mm-hmm.
My Memphis home has turned on me in a way that, you know, it's not happened to me. If he's still feeling that sense of frustration, how much energy he going to have to do it again?
Mm.
So that's why, remember, he was just telling us how he could step away.
Yep.
And we know. We know, Penny. We really. But what I would ask you is that if you're back in this same boat and you are not retaining most of this, John, you're back at a point where you're having to pick up 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys, how much more energy are you going to have? You just told us you could step away right now if you wanted to. That's why I'm saying so that's when I would get to, does Penny still want to do it if it's there?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If he's having to replace a ton of this, if guys are leaving again, oh, man, I got to go replace another 7 or 8. Because we just saw a man who clearly looked like he was at his wit's end.
No doubt.
In terms of the work he's got to put in.
Yep.
And then sort of how you all are receiving it, right? And that it's not enough for you. And so I just wonder, if we're back here, where's he going to be in terms of headspace? We just saw him about ready to tell folks, you know, what he really thinks in terms of you know his what you think of the job he's done.
Exactly.
So, again, I mean it's there's a decision being made by Memphis maybe if you don't, but there's also, you know, where's Penny Hardaway in terms of his interest level, his frustration level, all of that. You know, if you have another year of where you don't reach expectations.
Yeah, I think all of it is going to be very much informed
just
by
saw him boiling, bro.
Oh yeah, going
into this one,
and it is, and here's the thing, and it's going to be throughout the season, right? This is going to be the tensest season of Memphis basketball that I probably have ever been involved with that I've ever covered. I mean, I don't think Josh, I mean, everybody just wanted it was like we just kind of felt like that, right? We were like, Josh, we're sort of done with you at this point. You know, we don't really believe that you can turn it around, and that's just that on that. And we can't afford to fire you, but we don't really have any hope. Like, this one is, and again, Tubby, same thing, decided. This is like, okay, this is sort of last stop. Can this happen? People want it to happen under Penny, right? There's still that hope foundationally. So this is the redeeming part. This is the grounds for redemption. And so, you know, I think that's every game is going to be like a huge referendum, win, loss, win. And I just think it's going to be exhausting, quite honestly. I'm not really excited about it, to be quite honest with you, because I just know how it's going to, I know what the tenor of this thing is going to be. It's going to be like a pot of water that is boiling, you know, and you're going to hear it whistle after every loss. And then it'll cool down a little bit after every win. And then it'll be, you know, it's like, you know, it's just, I think this team's going to have waves like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a long season, man. I just feel like that.
One of the things that's really going to help set up Ryan for the bounce back was being able to keep a guy like Seth, right? The guy that's in your program that you're going to be able to, and Penny doesn't have that guy, you know? I get it would have been, like we said, David Jones.
Exactly.
But it's not. If you wanted the bounce back, right? And we talk about the Grizzlies bouncing back. It's
absolutely.
It's because of the core. And Memphis's ability to go hopefully seize this huge opportunity is going to be a lot of football. Is going to be based on the fact that you've been able to keep Seth Hennigan. Who's that guy for Penny now? Penny doesn't have that guy. And so that's why he's in a different place than you know, those other programs right now.
Exactly. It's so important, man, this day and age. It is.
But he could surprise. I mean, again, Ryan surprised me. I thought that was done. I thought once that seat starts to warm up, it's the old Gary, the old Gary adage that you don't get back off that thing. And he got it turned around. So there is a path for Penny to do the same. Hopefully, we're going down that one this season.
And look, Ryan has to go do it
and
too.
This AAC ain't. You know, it's there's UAB. There's nothing else. The issue is going to be that non-conference schedule is tough.
It's brutal, and
you're doing it with a shorthanded
exactly.
roster that's new all group. That's essentially all new.
It's essentially all new.
That's hard, dude.
Yeah, on the fly.
It's hard, bro. It's hard.
But we said if Penny wants to do it this way, where he's flipping the roster every offseason, this is hard. This ain't going to be fun. And certainly doesn't look like he's having any fun doing it.
Right. Like, where's the fun, bro?
Fun,
like,
been out the window, bro.
Is anybody having fun with Memphis basketball right now? I don't think anybody involved is having fun with Memphis basketball right now. I don't think the fans are having fun. I don't think Penny's having fun. I'm not having fun. I don't think you're having fun. You know, this was fun when Penny got the job. It was like it was a coronation. It was a party. It was like, oh, my God, all the possibilities are out there. And now it's just, now you just sort of dread it. I mean, that's just where I'm at with it, because I just know how toxic this can get, you know, one way or the other. It's a lot easier if Memphis comes out and just is awesome, you know. But look, we're in July, we're in the offseason, but we're setting this up. I mean, this is how it's going to be next season. It's going to be very stressful, I think. You know, and I wasn't you know, conscious enough. I don't remember anything about the Larry Finch end. Mm-hmm. But I imagine it was probably very similar, you know, once the recruiting misses started to happen and, you know, people started to kind of groan and moan a little bit.
It was. I mean, but the only measure of that was sort of sports talk radio and what was in the papers.
Right.
It was a different time in terms of the volatility, everything that you would see now on social media that obviously Penny pays attention to and others pay. It's just a different world now. So that conversation's bigger. Like, I mean, it's, and you feel it more in the city. You know, you would now because of the social media days. I mean, that's the difference. But, yeah, I mean, it was tragic in terms of Finch. And then you literally saw the sort of in upset, it, sort of the heart taken away from a man.
Right.
And, again, maybe it was time. We can talk about how it was done and sort of, you know, that part of it and what you owed Larry just in terms of what he contributed as a player and as a coach and sort of the ending there mishandled, I would say. But all that said, you know, here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you're program legend or not. You're going to be, you know, in the end, graded on that job. It's not personal. You're going to be graded on the job that you're doing and the on-floor results, the recruiting, the on-floor results. And I get it. I get that Penny is hurt, that he feels sort of attacked by his own people. Again, Penny, the player, never got attacked by Memphis, right? And then Penny, the ambassador,
exactly,
the supporter of Memphis, never attacked by Memphis. And so, again, you're in that seat. You see it as an attack. Again, criticism of the job you're doing is not personal, and that's what I would tell him over and over again. Brother, just control what you can. And right now, it's trying to make that roster as strong as you can be. Looks like you could use a couple more bodies.
Right.
At least one.
Right.
But I'm not going to go in here and say just overload the other three scholarships either. Cause
exactly.
If Penny's got needs to play 7 instead of 10 this year, then so be it.
That's exactly right.
It takes to get the job done.
Yeah, like, I, you know, don't feel like you just got to go get somebody just for the sake of filling a scholarship. That's unnecessary. And I don't even think, like, there's anybody. Because, like, those type of guys, here's the reality. There's never been a player like that that has ever come to Memphis and been successful under Penny. It has never happened. Like, if you're one of those dudes, you don't play. And you're not going to play. Like, Penny's going to play his stars. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like you got to hoop. You got to be able to hoop. This, you know, Penny will develop you if you're a big player, right? If you're a big time player, he has never shown he has much time for the Tuke star guys. You know what I mean? Like, he just doesn't. So I don't really think it's worth anybody's time to bring in some JUCO kid that's just going to sit on the bench. I mean, hey, Ahmad Rand, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean the David Winget, Camden, Sam Anu types, like, they come here and they never get a shot, and they might just not be good players, right? It's not like any of those guys have gone on to be, you know, contributors. I'm just saying, like, if you're not a hooper, don't waste your time coming to Memphis, because you're not gonna. This is not the place for you to, like, get in the trenches and pop up in 2 years. You're gonna get recruited over. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I would just tell everybody, you're better off keeping that spot open in case somebody gets kicked out of their school midseason for whatever reason, and you could add. You know what I mean? Like, the likelihood that happens is more so than a JUCO kid coming in here and being a big-time player.
It's critical year.
So
it's absolutely a critical year for Memphis basketball.
Anyway, that's the latest on the summer for Memphis basketball. We'll come back with the rundown. Yeah, we'll talk about what happened over the weekend with the WNBA. Grizz Summer League, obviously, tonight.
Memphis football keeps landing.
Memphis football keeps landing. I finally think that I have seen the worst team of grown basketball players ever assembled.
Really?
I'll tell you about that experience. Okay. And more when we get back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.